If you observe today's Old Testament reading, you will see that the Israelites, who were amazingly rescued from the Egyptians, were on the way to the Promised Land. They were not far from the destination, but we know that it took them 40 years to reach when it should have taken only 10 days to be there. There are particularly two things to be noticed during this time. First is, God did wonders all the time and had mercy on His chosen community. Second, the Israelites kept grumbling, questioning, and testing God and His servant Moses. Many people often discuss about the book of Exodus and about the frequent state of faithlessness and hopelessness of the Israelites. And I have often seen people go through a similar state. Last Sunday we reflected upon quarreling, grumbling, murmuring, testing God, a state of faithlessness and hopelessness. Satan deceives us and brings us to a state of baselessness. He brings us into a state where we are full of disappointment, dissatisfaction, and fear for something. And in return, the deceiver gets satisfaction and joy. And when this dissatisfaction grips us, we start blaming. That's what Israelites did. They questioned that if God was really with them, don't you think that when God rescued them from the Egyptians, gave them gold, filled their pockets, made them safely cross the Red Sea, they might have seen God's mightiness. They may be rejoicing, praising Him for His goodness, and now they are testing Him. Do you notice the change in heart or mindset or behavior? Whatever you would like to call it. The second part of the last verse of today's Old Testament reading is, Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? It is my opinion, from the little experience that I have in the ministry, that we, His people, are often resist the temptation of testing God, but sometimes there comes a time when we question God. And we question God and ask, are you there with us? Do you see, we are going through so and so problem. And the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Do we seek Him or we test Him? For things big and small, we panic, lose hope, forget the greatness of our God. And then we ask God, are you with us? Our merciful Father sent His Son to save His supreme creation. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it is written, the Lord Himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. But when His Son was on the earth, some recognized Him, but the others did not. The gospel records that the chief priest and the elders questioned His authority. They asked the authority, what is your authority? Or let me put it this way. They asked the supreme authority, what is your authority? From this text, it is not difficult to see that questioning the authority in whatever form is not a contemporary fixture in society, but has existed since centuries. They did not ask this because of doxological reasons, but they questioned him because they thought they had the ultimate authority and control over the religious system. These things refer back to what Jesus did earlier in the temple, which is their current location. Earlier, he drew out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Then he healed the blind and the lame and taught in the temple. Who gave you this authority? When Jesus cleansed the temple by overturning tables, he's overturning restrictive rules, then that maintain the status quo for the religious, economic and political life, while blocking others from gaining access to God's house and gates. Jesus cleans God's house and establishes a new way and new rules, emptying it to make room at the holy temple, holy table of God, for the most despised and rejected of the day. Jesus had his own questions for them. The chief priests and the elders were questioned by Jesus, and all they had to say was, "We do not know. We do not know." They tried to avoid getting caught with their answers, but what they say is actually the truth. They did not know. They did not really understand. If we commit ourselves to God wholeheartedly, we will be able to see His authority and the greatness of His love. This will then break the bonds of disappointment, dissatisfaction, and fear that grips our life. We will have abundant freedom and peace in our life. Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, "All authority in the heaven and on the earth is given to me." He has the authority to heal us from diseases, to grant us abundant joy, and to gift us life everlasting. We need to give total authority of our life to Him. And in Philippians chapter 2, the passage which has been read before us this morning, it is given, "God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We need to remember, my dear friends, we need to remember that when we give this authority to Him, we get freedom in our lives. Be aware that the Satan knows how to stop us from having this freedom that comes with the sovereignty of Jesus in our lives. When we have a longer association with Satan, it is not possible to come out from it so easily. Like we know, the closer a person is to us, the more he or she knows our weaknesses. When God's authority in Christ confronts our selfish lives, we must honestly submit to the truth. If Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, who gave His life for us on the cross, that He is the absolute sovereign who has the supreme right to work a life. With these chief priests, scribes, and the elders, Jesus pointed to His forerunner, John the Baptist. If they had accepted John's ministry as being from God, then they would have submitted it to Him, and they would have accepted Jesus as being from God. John pointed away from himself to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." If they had believed John, they would not have any problem believing Jesus. By believing John, these men were not talking about just intellectual belief. They knew that it meant believing so as to repent and submit their lives to what John taught. In Luke chapter 3, John spelled out what believing his message meant. "Bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. Do not count on your religious background to save you." They needed to live in such a way that they lived differently. Generosity toward the poor, honesty in business, and contentment with their wages. That always has been and always will be the meaning of saving faith. Submitting our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, whose authority confronts our selfishness. But these men wouldn't deal honestly with Jesus' question. Confronted with the truth, they did not want to face it. They decided to reject Jesus' authority. We do not know the lie. They did know, but they wouldn't honestly face their sin of rebellion against God. My dear friends, I would like to urge you to stay away from testing God, from questioning Him, questioning His authority. And in our postmodern world, it would be fit to say that stay away from ignoring His authority. Stay away from everything or anything that tries to head you astray from Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.